Thank you, Becky and Karen and everyone who has led us so far. Jackson, for your fitting song selections. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, Linda. It's good to see you back. Oh, you are. Very good. That's exciting. Well, that ties into this sermon today, so I hope you listen carefully. I'm excited to share with you this morning. I want to welcome all college students back and all visitors who are here and online. We are going to take off fast today because there's a lot to cover. I wonder if you remember the book, The Missing Piece. Does anybody remember? No, it's not familiar to some. Some nodding heads. It's about a circular-ish shape, but it's got a pie-sized piece missing. And it rolls around on the grass and by the butterflies, looking for its missing piece. Now, some of us here would never think of ourselves as missing anything. And some of us here regularly think of ourselves as missing everything. So which is it? We have FOMO, fear of missing out. And yet we live in a society that tells us we can have everything all the time, 24/7, that we can be all things at all times. Well, there's a sequel to this book called The Missing Piece Meets the Big O. And this book is from the vantage point of the missing piece. Now, interestingly, the message of this book is that true love doesn't complete us. But then it goes on to say that all we need is a little encouragement and determination, and we too can fulfill our dreams. There's something missing there for me. These books connect to our longing to be made whole, our longing for everything to be right in Palestine and all throughout the world and in our lives, for there to be no more sickness and disease and dying. Because we know how painful it is to be incomplete. We want to know everything, be everything, do everything. I'm right there with you. I do this too. And for those of us who are longing to no longer be perfectionists, like myself, we get snagged here because we want to do everything right on the first try, and that's just not realistic. There's a music teacher at Eastern Mennonite School, Joy Anderson. I don't really know her, but I've seen her leading choirs and other groups various times. And she does something really interesting. When a student makes a mistake, she celebrates the mistake. She makes a big deal out of it. And she says, "Mistakes are awesome." Now, I'm a recovering perfectionist. And I'm looking at her like, okay, I see what she did here. She's helping the student to not feel so bad. No, actually, mistakes are awesome. I'm starting to learn as I make my own mistakes and reflect on them. They're a great learning opportunity. And there's probably other reasons why mistakes are awesome that you all who are not perfectionists can help me learn. Why do I mention all of this? Well, because someone here commented to me last week that they love the way we are being creative and trying new things. And I also mention it because another person said at our leadership retreat a week ago that one of the ways that God has been at work in this congregation is more people and more leaders and more commissions are stepping up and each one doing our part together. And I agree with both of those thoughts. But if you think back to the two books that I described, there's some principles at work here. First, God designed us to need each other, to be in community. And God is invigorating us as we use our creative gifts to strengthen our ministry and outreach. I'll share one example. For years, Zion has been longing to do more and more outreach, and I think maybe that desire is even continuing to grow. And so we have an Outreach and Service Commission who's been doing a fantastic job of giving us opportunities to partner with local organizations and with what God is doing in local organizations in our community, and to be part of that and to support the work that God is already doing there. And then leaders here began realizing, well, why not just a few times a year, why don't we try to bring our outreach that we want to do right into the middle of our worship services? And so next week, we're going to start trying this. Because our outreach is one way of worshiping God together. And you'll hear more about that opportunity in a bit. But here's the point. Even as God leads us in doing more outreach, as a gathered body in community, there will still be missing piece moments. Why? Because on this side of things, we see in part, we know in part, and we prophesy in part. It's like Linda getting new glasses, maybe not being able to see quite as clearly with her current glasses. We see in part. For now, we see only a reflection in a mirror. For those of you who are not seated in the middle, you may not be able to see the reflection of the candle in the mirror. We see in part. I love the translation that says, we see through a glass darkly. Our vision, even when we collaborate together, is partial. It's like when I got into my car this past week before summer came, and the windshield was all icy, and I could see shapes of the street, of the house across the street. I could see the fragments of the road, but I could only see in part, bits and pieces. It reminds me of Jesus healing the blind man, and he spits on his eyes and he says, what do you see? And the man says, I see people walking like trees. We see in part. Isn't that how we see other people? Is in part. We don't know people fully. We don't see people fully. Other people don't see us fully. It reminds me of the person after my sermon on this passage last week who said, I don't love like this. I want to. I feel the same. Wouldn't you love to always be patient, to always be kind? I'm working really hard this week to honor someone who I only see in part, someone I don't fully understand. I had to let go of the record of wrongs that I was tracking. We're not made to be spiritual accountants. And what I notice is that sometimes we get really discouraged and even angry at ourselves for not being more loving. Does that help us to be more loving if we're angry at ourselves? No, of course not. And the difference of this is Jesus, because if we look at ourselves in the mirror, we're only going to see ourselves in part. And this part may make us a little uncomfortable because Jesus sees us fully as we are right now. And there's a part of us, doesn't it make us want to just cringe, that Jesus knows everything about us? But see, we forget the missing piece, that Jesus loves us fully as we are right now. I think it's difficult for us to know in our minds. Actually, I think we know this in our minds, but it's difficult to get it into our hearts that it is by grace that we have been saved. We want to say, well, that's true for other people, but not for me. I don't need that grace. No, it is by grace that we all have been saved. So it's a great thing that we can look in the mirror and see in part, and yet Jesus sees us fully and loves us fully. I'm reminded how recently I was in a conference, and there was several people sharing their fears about the year ahead in our political system. And I thought, you know, I understand that in part, and yet we're missing a piece that's God. God is present and active and working in our circumstances every day. That's a really important piece to not lose sight of. And so in our conference, in our world, in Palestine, in the Ukraine, where there are blatant reminders of the missing pieces, God is also present. I think we miss out on joy and peace and contentment, forgiveness and love. All of these are available to us through Christ. So starting on Easter Sunday, we're going to be beginning a new sermon series called Resurrected and Living. And I'm excited about this series because our hope, let me back up a minute. Last year we did, during Lent, we did a series where we tried to live into the death of Jesus and what that means for us. And what happened for me after that series is we got to Easter morning and I said, well, we're missing something. We're off balance. We've learned how to understand Jesus' death, but now we need to understand the difference that Jesus' resurrection makes for us. So we'll be doing that this Easter. Because amid our frustrations with the way our lives can be in shambles and those of others are in shambles, amidst our anger at only seeing and knowing in part, I have good news for us today, Zion. Because God's world is coming, one day we will know in full. The reason that the prophecies will pass and be no longer is because they will no longer be needed. We will see Jesus fully. We will be with love fully. I think sometimes we get this world and what's coming next backwards and mixed up. It's like we expect heaven to be boring, like we're going to be floating around on clouds all day and twiddling our thumbs. Well, if God is creative and loving and God made this world, then how can the next thing that's coming not be amazing and better? I get it that we see in part through the icy windshield. We all have unknowns in our future, and maybe especially when we think about death. And I understand that in part. But I think we're missing the piece that Jesus loves us, which means we're missing the piece, P-E-A-C-E, that Jesus offers us now. Because this passage, I know what jumped out to me as Becky read it is that love never ends. So that means Jesus loves us today, and Jesus loves us tomorrow, and the day after that, and forever. Completeness is coming. And we have some choices about this completeness that's coming, and here's what I mean. For those of us who seek to follow Jesus, we will get to fully know one day. And if we make choices to put the ways of childhood behind us, if we let God's Spirit empower us, we get to be part of that completeness coming now. So yes, we will be complete fully in the future, but God's kingdom is coming in now, and we get to be a part of that as we seek to love one another. Here's an analogy for it. In college, my music and piano teacher would have this, it's not really a trick, but this kind of game that he did in our class. And I really should have practiced this because we might have a mistakes are awesome moment here. But we'd be in class and he'd play a scale. He'd stop right there. And all the extremely gifted music students are like nails on a chalkboard, cringing, right? And so my point here is we get to live into, excuse me, being part of bringing completeness in now. And so what I invite us to do on this last note is to sing the word love, because that's how completeness comes. Love never fails. So join me in singing on this last note, sing love as loud and robustly as you can.